Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be back here with you on a Monday. Thanks for being here with us. We're awful grateful that you spend the time with us. Got a very, very good Monday show for you. And second hour, Simone will be here, Simone Riscala. And we're going to talk about leisure, basically. And we thought it would be a good time connected with Advent and all the kind of busyness of the season right now to talk about holy leisure, so to speak, and the gift of leisure and what it means to be able to rest in the Lord. We'll talk about all of that with Simone the second hour. First hour, we're going to talk a bit about Mary. We'll talk about the new book, Bible Mary, the mother of Jesus in the Word of God, the new book that we've told you about here from Father John Weiss. And your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884, whether you're Catholic or not a Catholic, whether you find Mary all over the Bible or you think she's hardly there at all. Why do we make such a fuss about her? If you've got questions about Bible Mary, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father John Weiss is a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei and currently the pastor of St. Mary of the Angels Parish in Chicago. He's a graduate of the Pontifical University of Santa Croce and Notre Dame University and Stanford University. He's got a bunch of books, including Letters Between a Catholic and an Evangelical, Born to Love, What Happens When You Die, and now Bible Mary. Father Weiss, thank you very much for being here with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Cy. I really enjoy this opportunity.
Well, congratulations on the book as well. You were just saying just before we went on the air that your writing career has involved, you think there needs to be a book about something, so you write the book. And it means your books are, you have an eclectic collection of books to your name. But what was the need that you saw for this Bible Mary?
Well, this kind of started when I had this dialogue with James McCarthy on it's called Letters Between a Catholic and Evangelical. We had conversations back and forth on different doctrinal issues. And when the issue of Mary came up, he made a comment that, well, when I read the Bible, I just saw so little that there was about Mary in the Bible. And so what I did was begin to, for our conversation, just collect as many verses of the Bible that referred to Mary. And I was looking at Fathers of the Church and some of the saints, and I realized, you know, a lot of these verses that they would apply to Mary, you just wouldn't, you know, no Catholic, no Protestant for sure, but very few Catholics would ever associate with Mary. So then I started, after we published the book, I started realizing I got to understand why they had associated different Bible verses with Mary, and uncovered just a tremendous wealth of verses, and saw the portrait of Mary just coming together in Scripture.
It's a different way of reading the Bible, however. I mean, there's a certain way of reading the Bible that, I mean, you could say, well, a figure is important in the Bible because of how many times their name appears in the Bible. But if you do that, then Adam and Eve aren't very important because after a couple chapters, they're gone. So there must be a different way of reading the Bible than just saying, well, his or her name only appears this many times, and so they're not as important as other figures in the Bible.
Well, if you look, for example, at in Matthew's Gospel, when we have the slaughter of the innocents, and it mentions Rachel is calling out for her children, and she cannot be consoled because they are no more. If you look at the original prophecy, I think it's in Jeremiah, it wasn't applying to the Messiah at all. It was applied to those lost tribes of Israel that were taken up, you know, into the exile. And those were children of Rachel, those were the sons of Benjamin and Joseph, and they're absorbed into the nations and they cannot be returned. But now it's being applied to Bethlehem, which is where Rachel died, giving birth to Benjamin. And so all these figures of the Old Testament started coming together, and Matthew quotes it as though, hey, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And then so you start understanding there are certain principles that are being applied to scripture that we've not learned how to apply, like typology and the multiple, that typology can have multiple fulfillments as is applied to different individuals. And then you start seeing these prophetic types that come to fruition and come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ and in the Virgin Mary.
It does seem like there's a difference in reading scripture, in a sense, to prove a point, and reading scripture to allow all of its levels of meaning to unfold. And I have to be honest, one of those two ways of reading scripture seems much more modern to me. It seems post-Reformation, the reading scripture to prove this point or to prove that point, rather than reading scripture to encounter a message that has depths upon depths ready to unfold for you.
I like to look at it like the scripture are love letters from God, mm-hmm. that he writes to us. And you can imagine if you got someone that's reading your love letters and trying to analyze things from a proof texting kind of perspective, trying to prove points, rather than seeing, you know, these promises and these visions of our life together coming to fruition and having depths of meaning that you discover many years later. And I think that's something that we need to learn to look at. Don't look at those love letters as though it were a textbook or a legal document, but rather that it is really a message from someone that loves you dearly and wants to have a loving relationship with you.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884. We're talking with Father John Weiss about his new book, Bible Mary, The Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. It's not an apologetics book in the sense of going into Scripture and proving, here's where Mary is. It's much more of an appreciation of Mary in the Bible and how she figures in the entire story that God is sharing in the Bible. If you have questions about Mary in the Bible, 888-318-7884 is the number. And really, anyone is welcome to call. You don't have to share our view of Mary. You don't have to share our view of the Bible. If you've got a question about Mary in the Bible, 888-318-7884. We tend to think that there's a kind of proto gospel in the serpent and the woman in the book of Genesis, mm-hmm. and that you'll nip at her heel and she'll crush your head. I would like you to kind of use that as an opportunity to apply this way of thinking about scripture that you are saying we should apply, because it's clear you can read that without seeing Mary in it at all.
Yeah, it's a very interesting passage. It's when God curses the serpent, and you know, he says you're going to crawl in your belly and eat dirt the rest of your life. In other words, you're going to be lower than the animals. But then he says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You will strike at his heel and he will strike at your head. Actually, the pronouns there is a very ancient form of the, you know, first person pronoun, third person pronoun, excuse me. And it can be applied to women and to men. Very interesting, when the Septuagint was written, it was applied to the seed, which would be a male seed, a Messiah. So it was translated into a masculine pronoun. When Jerome came up with the definitive Latin translation, he translated it into the feminine. Now, he had before him the Greek Septuagint, and he had the Hebrew text before him as well. He had learned both languages extremely well. He was expert in it. And yet he translated it into the feminine. And I asked myself, why did he do that? Well, when I started uncovering Old Testament passages that would apply to Mary, I noticed there's a lot of figures of women head crushers. what I call crushing antichrist.
Oh, okay.
In the Old Testament, and they were prefiguring Mary. In fact, the first one that comes along is in the book of Judges with Jael, who, you know, is not even a Hebrew woman. She's one of the women in that area from a tribe that was in league with Sisera, who was trying to attack and wipe out the people of Israel. And sure enough, what happens? The Israeli armies under Barak and Deborah crush Sisera's army, and he flees, and he tries to hide in this tent of Jael, thinking she's an ally. And she gives him some milk, he falls asleep, and she takes a tent peg and nails his head to the floor of the tent. And then there's this beautiful song of praise for Jael, which some of that is very Marian is in some of the Marian texts in the New Testament. So all generations are going to call you blessed, Jael, you know?
Oh, yes.
And so we have this head crusher. And so there had began already by the fourth century a very strong Catholic Christian tradition that it should be applied to Mary, not to... So he translated it into the feminine. There are male head crushers too, of course. There's David, who cuts off the head of Goliath, and there's others as well. But it's just amazing how many women get in the act, where they're throwing a millstone out of the tower and crushing the head of the attacking army.
Right.
You know, or you got Judith, or you got Esther. You got a number of these women that are figures that are find a type that finds its fulfillment in Mary.
Isn't that striking? That again, that's not, you're not reading it just apologetically in order to get that. You're reading, in a sense, poetically or in or multivalently. That you just have to be sympathetic to. There's not, if God's going to put in His Word women who crush heads, and we're going to have this image of the crushing of the head of the serpent, and this will be applied by the church to Mary, that in all of that, to ignore all the layers of meaning in that is to really denude the Scripture.
Correct. It would be like you're treating it as a textbook and you're just trying to get, you know,
right,
2 + 2 = 4 out of the text, and there's so much more meaning to it than that.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. If you've got questions about Mary in the Bible, we're talking with Father John Weiss, the author of Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with your calls, 888-31-TRUTH on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN Radio is seeking an assistant to the operations manager in overseeing broadcast content in Radio Master Control. This candidate will ensure delivery of our Catholic audio programming while actively monitoring the on-air signals of a number of automated and live playout systems. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to humanresources@ewtn.com and be a part of Mother Angelica's mission of evangelization.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm talking with Father John Weiss about his new book, Bible Mary. If you have questions about Mary in the Bible, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. When it comes to the Catholic Church's teaching about Mary, there's one question you hear more than any other. Where is she in the Bible? Where in the Bible can we find the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption, the virgin birth, or supporting evidence for venerating Jesus's mother? The answer is everywhere. So get your copy today of Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God by our guest, Father John Weiss. Promo code Bible Mary saves you 25% off the book or ebook. Order your copy today at shop.catholic.com. When you go, use the promo code Bible Mary, get one quarter off at shop.catholic.com. 888-318-7884 is our number. Father, we've got calls for you. Shall we go to the phones?
Sure. That'd
all right.
Be great.
Let's start with Travis in Astoria, Oregon, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Travis, thank you very much for your call and for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hey, Si, thank you very much. So, Father, I'm wondering, in the Hail Holy Queen prayer, why is it that we refer to her as our life, our sweetness, and our hope? Particularly, why do we call her our life?
That's a good question. I haven't really thought about that too much, except if you think about Eve, what was the name that Eve had? I mean, before she was Eve, she was woman. That's what, that was Adam's explanation or name that he gave her, woman. And but then after the fall, she was named Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. So if we can see that Mary is the mother of all the true living, because she's the real fulfillment, in many ways, the fathers of the church, early Christians, were talking about Eve as the mother really of death, because she brought spiritual death to us all. At the same time, she's the mother of our bodily life. I think of, I go to Revelation chapter 12, where we have a woman, a great sign appears in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet. And then it goes to describe she's the mother of the Messiah. And then there's the great dragon that comes along that tries to attack the child, then attacks the woman. And at the very end of that passage, that chapter, we see the dragon became angry with the woman, and she went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Who are the offsprings? Those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus, which I think is all Christians. So we see her fulfilling the real role that Eve was supposed to have as being mother of the living, and Mary's mother of all those who keep the commandments and bear witness to Jesus Christ, which means all Christians.
What do you think, Travis?
That helps, Father. Thank you very much.
That does help. As a matter of fact, I've never even heard that exegesis of the Father's like, I've never really thought about this. And then he gives us one of the best exegesis of that prayer that I've ever heard. So thanks, Father.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks very, very much. We're talking about Mary in the Bible. If you have questions about Mary in the Bible, we have the author of the book, the new book, Bible Mary, out. The new book just out. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We go to South Dakota now. Denny is in South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Denny, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Father, I'm reading the books by Mary of Agreda, I believe.
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with those books?
Yes. I think it's City of God, isn't it?
City of God, right. Yep, there it is. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Three Bonds. I read it in high school, so it goes back
a
ways.
Oh, that's a long time ago, huh?
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Right,
well,
Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead. That just seems unkind to point out how long ago it was, but go ahead.
I keep thinking of in my own. I'm 73 years old. I keep thinking of my own. No, I just started it. I'm on book number 3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it, to me, it is just packed full of the Word of God and God's appreciation and love for the Virgin Mary, I'm just so impressed with that, that, you know, I have, the church obviously has not given any credence other than an imprimatur to the books.
Correct.
And I was wondering how you feel about this whole series. There's 8 volumes in here, I believe. There's 4 volumes or 2 books in each volume. What is your opinion of that?
Well, I was very impressed when I read it, certainly. But oftentimes I'm reading, you know, books and I'm thinking, can I use this in explaining this teaching to a non-Catholic or someone that's exploring coming into the Catholic Church? We have RCIA. And I'm always looking for something that we can agree on. And that's why I really focused on scripture when it comes to Mary, because that's where we're dialoguing with Protestants and or non-Catholics, or that we're saying, what do we agree on? And I think scripture is something that we can agree on. So that's why I've been the focus. I think it's great. We don't have to take it as, it's not gospel truth. It's not, does not have that sense of authority. But it has some very wonderful insights that can be, one can get from that. You know, one thing that I did in my research was identify principles that the early Christians were using. And one principle came out that was very clear. When the Holy Spirit spoke through Elizabeth saying, "Blessed are you among women," it was basically saying, "Mary, you're more blessed than any woman." That means anytime a woman is mentioned in the Bible, it says something about Mary. So it says, you know, the daughters of Job were more beautiful than all the daughters of the land, and Mary is more blessed than the daughters of Job. Therefore, Mary must have been very beautiful. Now, maybe that's not a super in-depth insight into Mary, but it shows how now we can identify whenever a woman is mentioned, we can say it tells us something about Mary. And that opened up great horizons for me.
Denny, thank you. Thank you very, very much for the call and the question. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Rob is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Glad to have you here. Rob, go ahead with your question for Father John.
All right, thank you. I am Protestant, as is my dad, and I've been listening to Catholic radio, and he called me today. He's not happy about it, and he called me today and said, well, what about Luke 11, I think it's like 27, where the woman yelled out, "Blessed is the woman who bore you and whose breast you nursed at," and Jesus said, but more so, is blessed is the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And my dad was trying to say that was kind of like downgrading Mary, basically, and giving her less, you know, praise, yeah. I guess, or something. I just wondered an explanation on that.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, that's very good. I think one of the things is, you know, certainly it may seem like Mary, John Paul II had a wonderful explanation of all of this. He says, to understand this passage, you have to put it in context of all of Scripture and whatever is said about Mary. And the first thing he says is not Mary one who listens to the word of God and does it? Is she not the one who fulfills the will of the Father? I mean, saying the Holy Spirit again speaks through Elizabeth saying, blessed is she who has believed, because the things promised her by the Lord will be fulfilled. So Mary is blessed by her faith. She was a woman of faith, and she was the one that said yes to God, especially when it came to, you know, making a commitment to remain a virgin, and then believing that God could allow her to conceive a child without intercourse with man. She knew that was impossible, so she believed, and she said yes to it. She said, "If this is the Father's will, be it done unto me according to your word." So she actually fulfills that blessing that Jesus utters to the woman that shouts out, to Jesus, blessed are the breasts that nursed you. She said, no, blessed more rather, not the physical relationship that my mother has with me, but that spiritual relationship that she has through faith.
Rob, does that help you, or do you have a follow-up? Oh, you know what? We'll have to check in with Rob when we come back. Sorry, Rob. We're a little connection issue, and I will get right back to you when we come back. We'll see if that answer was satisfying. We're talking about Mary in the Bible with Father John Weiss, the author of Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. Your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884. Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answers' own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com, or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
In These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes, best-selling author Rod Bennett gives a riveting re-examination of gospel events from the ground floor perspective of Christ's own hand-picked successors. In his trademark storytelling style, Bennett movingly depicts what it was like for the apostles to witness Jesus' teaching and miracles up close. Why did he call them, and what did he intend for them to do? Order your copy of These 12 today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Join us to talk all about relationships.
Tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Father John Weiss, author of several very fine books, and this one, this new one, Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. It's available at shop.catholic.com right now or wherever you get your Catholic books. Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. Well, is she there? Sometimes we hear there's not much about her. If you've got a question about Mary in the Bible, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. When we went to the break, we were talking to Rob about is Jesus denigrating Mary? Is he putting her down? When people say, blessed is your mother, and he says, blessed, you know, essentially these people here that are following me and listening to me, but that they are blessed. Rob, were you satisfied with the answer, or did you have a follow-up?
Yes, actually, that's basically what I told my dad was, you know, the criteria for being called blessed is not just the physical part that she bore him and, you know, nursed at her breast. It was that she did his will, and she did his will more than anybody.
Great. So,
yeah, I'm very happy with it.
Okay, Rob, thank you very, very much.
Yes.
888-318-7884, the number. I don't know why I'm giving out, though. All the lines are full, so off we go. We're going to keep going. Rob, thanks very much. Kathleen's in Fairfield, Iowa. Kathleen, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Okay. Okay. I see, this is the first time I've ever done this, and I didn't know if I could discuss this with you guys or listen to him, or how do you do this?
Well, you just ask a question, and Father will give you an answer, and then I'll tell you what, I'll come back and I'll go, did you like that answer, or did you want to say something else?
I wasn't listening because I was waiting for him to come back and discuss, so
okay.
I didn't hear what he had to say.
Oh, well, but you do have a question. Kathleen?
Yeah. I grew up thinking that Jesus didn't have any brothers and sisters, but as I've gotten older, I've learned that he did have several brothers and sisters.
Ah, right. Okay.
Right.
And so, yeah, from the Catholic point of view, now, because Jesus was born the way he was and all mm-hmm. of that, then later they had children. So in the Bible, it mentions James.
James and Jose.
Brother.
James and Jose.
So I'll tell you what, Kathleen, we'll get Father to, because that would conflict with the virginity of Mary, essentially, is what the question is, I would assume.
No, she was a virgin, and she they were not man and wife while Jesus was in the womb or anything like that.
Okay.
Or how she was conceived, because she was only conceived through Holy Spirit and all of that. So, but after she had Jesus, she did have many children, and it's referred to in the Bible as James being his brother.
Okay, let's get...
He was the only brother that went along with him as one of the apostles.
Let's get Father to explain the Catholic view on that, and then I will come back to you and see if it's satisfying to you. Father?
Good. Well, this is a question that the early Christians tackled very, you know, it's very interesting. Each one of the teachings of about Mary is associated with a teaching about Christ. So the first one, that's a teaching about Mary, that Mary's the mother of God, actually tells us that Jesus really was true man and true God, and that Mary was his mother. But the virginity of Mary is also associated with this, you know, that the early Christians always saw Mary as always virgin. So that she was a virgin before, during the birth of Christ, that she gave birth in a virginal manner, and then afterwards that she was Now, they had to deal with, well, the early Christians talked about James and Jose and also his sisters, you know, as he had brothers and sisters. But the early church realized that the Hebrew doesn't have a word for cousin, and that what the Aramaic and the Hebrew would call their cousins brothers or sisters. That's how they referred to them. It is very interesting. James and Jose have a mother called Mary of Clopas, who is the sister of Mary. So it says Mary has a sister named Mary. It's almost certain that it's a cousin of Mary, which means James and Jose are actually cousins of Jesus. Now, some early Christians didn't know the Aramaic and didn't know the Hebrew, just knew the Greek Septuagint and the Greek New Testament. And they came up with another solution. They just supposed that Joseph had a family before he took Mary as his wife, as the betrothed. And so that all the brothers and sisters of Jesus were actually half brothers and half sisters. So it's something that, you know, certainly those who were called themselves brothers and sisters really like that identification, would want to keep that after they were, after Jesus was ascended into heaven. But, and that was a sign of respect, just like they had held Mary as a great respect. But it's very interesting how they tried to solve that problem, and there's no mention of Mary having any children in the Bible besides Jesus. Jesus was her only child that's ever mentioned in the Bible.
Kathleen, is that satisfying to you, or did you have a...
Okay, one more thing.
Okay.
The fact that it's mentioned that Joseph had more children, Joseph died 3 years after the crucifixion.
Now, how would you know that, Kathleen? Where would that come from?
How do I know that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where would that information come from?
Oh, golly. Well, I tell you what. And Mary, well, do you believe that Joseph died before Mary?
Father?
Most likely Joseph died before Jesus began his public ministry. When Jesus died on the cross, right before he died, he entrusted Mary to John, the beloved disciple. Had Joseph been alive, he wouldn't have to entrust Mary to anyone. Had Mary had other children, Jesus would not have entrusted Mary to anyone else, because one of his brothers or sisters would have taken care of him. He chose John to take care of his mother as though she was his own mother. And so it's that in itself indicates that Mary didn't have any other children, because then Jesus would not have entrusted her to John.
Kathleen, thank you very, very much. I didn't know if maybe you were referring to some ancient document outside of Scripture or something that a saint might have said in saying that Joseph survived 3 years after the resurrection of Jesus. So I didn't mean to be rude. I just didn't know where that was coming from. But if you'd like a copy of the book Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God, by our guest, we'd be happy to send you. All you got to do is just hang on the line. We'll get your information. We'll send it off to you. And thank you very, very much for the call. 888-318-7884 is our number. James in Jefferson City, Missouri. You are next, James. Thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I wanted to ask about the person that called earlier with the question about the Salve Regina, or the Hail Holy Queen, and referring to Mary as our life. But I always thought that that was a reference to Jesus, because I always thought it was like Mother of Mercy, Mother of our life, Mother of our sweetness, Mother of our hope.
Yeah, it all has to do with where the commas go. And
I was wondering if you just might say something about that, because that's how I always interpreted it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's no question Jesus is our life. You know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So I think that interpretation is perfectly legitimate. But I think, I don't know, I grew up just praying that the Salve Regina, and just applying that to Mary, you know. In many ways, she's the mother of our life. That's for sure. And, you know, it's very interesting. People in love will say things that, you know, you couldn't technically call, you know, true fact. But, you know, I worship the ground that you walk on. You know, lovers will say things like that. And that's something that we have to remember, that when we're talking about Mary and we're talking about Jesus, there's a language of love that's part of that. And certainly in our prayers, that it can have that multiple meaning that we see in Scripture too, but that we can apply to Mary as well as to Jesus.
James, I'm going to say thanks and take a quick break.
Yes.
Because I'm starting to have that end of show anxiety now that we've got so many callers on for Father. I'm starting to worry. So let's take this break, and then we'll get as many callers on as we can with Father John Weiss, the author of Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a new listener to EWTN Radio? Welcome. We're here for you 24/7.
You'll hear live and interactive shows throughout the day to answer any questions you may have about the Catholic faith.
There's trustworthy news from a Catholic perspective.
And a large selection of podcasts available at EWTN's Podcast Central.
And, of course, the daily mass, prayers, and everything you need to edify your soul.
Welcome to EWTN Radio. We're blessed to have you with us.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
All right, I guess we're going to kind of make it a lightning round, sort of, as we go towards the top of the hour, because Father John Weiss has a beautiful new book called Bible Mary, the Mother of God, excuse me, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. And it seems to me that the book, Father, is both a book about Mary in the Scripture, but it's also a book about how to read Scripture.
You know, that's certainly the case, because I learned so much by studying it, you know, and trying to find things about Mary, and I learned, hey, there's new ways of reading the Bible that we need to learn.
Yeah, or old ways we need to relearn too. I think.
Most definitely, because you see the early Christians writing about Mary and say, hey, how did they get that?
Yeah, yeah. All right, on we go to the lightning round, so to speak. Joseph's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Joseph, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Now I'm a returning Catholic after being away for several years, and I was born and baptized in the faith and got to the point where I was feeling like I was only going through the motions, and so I left. Well, now I'm trying to make an earnest effort to return to the faith.
Praise God.
Right, and put more effort into it than I ever have. And I have a friend, a Baptist friend of mine, who insists that because Mary referred to her son as her Savior, that she was obviously a sinner like the rest of us. And I've tried to point out to him that God the Father would have wanted his son not only to come through the line of David, but to come through a clean, you know, not to come through an unclean virgin or vessel.
Well, let's see what Father has to say about that, because the basic objection I'd like to address, Father, that the Baptist friend says Mary's clearly a sinner because she refers to God as her Savior.
Well, we all need a Savior, right?
We do.
But there are different ways of being saved. If there's a big mud pit that someone falls in and you get someone to pull them out of the quicksand mud to get them out and then clean them up, that's one way of saving them. Another way of saving them is prevent them from, you know, going into that mud pit in the first place and getting stuck there. And that's how we look at Mary, as someone that was saved in preparation for her mission to be the mother of the Messiah. By the way, there's other people that were conceived without sin. Can you think of anyone that was conceived without sin?
Joseph, that's for you. Anybody else you can think of that was conceived?
For me?
Yeah.
The only other one conceived without sin?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Jesus is the only one I can think of.
There's two more.
Two more, exactly.
Oh,
how about Adam? Adam, and how about
right.
Eve?
Okay, Adam
and then Eve.
Yeah.
And Mary's more blessed than any woman, so Mary must have been more blessed than Eve.
Exactly. That's a really good point.
That's this Father Weiss. That's the way he is. Joseph, I'll give you a copy of the book if you hang on. We'll get your address. We'll send it to you. But because I am going to continue with kind of the lightning round here, let people get their questions to Father. Bob's in Oxnard, California, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Bob, thanks for the call. Go ahead with the question.
Isn't it only logical that Mary would play a prominent role in salvation history, given that half the world's population is female?
I would agree to that. I think one of the things is, look at when Adam was created and he was alone in the garden, and God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he made a partner fit for him. And if we see that Adam is prefiguring to us Jesus Christ, who's the Adam, the true Adam, that Adam should not be alone, that he needs a woman that would be there alongside him as a, to assist him in his mission. And that's how the early Christians looked at Mary, as cooperating with his mission, cooperating with his redemption. Not in an equal way, but as a someone that was always there to assist him, to collaborate with him.
And sometimes to just assume that he's going to turn water into wine, huh?
Just yeah, exactly.
Do whatever he tells you. She doesn't even ask him. Bob, thanks. If you want to hang on, we'll send you a copy of the book, Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. And on I go to try to get everybody on with Father John Weiss before we have to go. Now we will go to Oklahoma. Paula is in Oklahoma listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Paula, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Thank you. I'm a cradle Catholic. I'm thankful I was born into the faith. And but there's been one thing that kind of confuses me sometimes. So we give Mary a lot of credit for saying yes and being obedient. But we also know she was born without the stain of original sin. So my question is, was she really able to even say no or be disobedient at all, since she didn't have that stain of original sin?
Well, we have Adam and Eve. Did they have the ability to say no, even though they were conceived without sin? They were truly free. And Mary, we see that Mary is truly free. She did not have to say yes to being betrothed to Joseph. She didn't have to say yes to remaining a virgin. She didn't have to say yes. But she felt the call, and she just said, yes, I have. This is the right thing to do. And she said that fiat. We have her yes recorded in Scripture. But the main question is, was she free? And there's no question about it. She was a free individual, like you and me.
Paula, again, I'm trying to get to everybody, so I'm going to say thank you for that call and also offer you the book. If you'd like a copy of Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God, the brand new book from our guest, Father John Weiss and Catholic Answers Press, just hang on the line. We'll get an address and we'll send you a copy of the book. Alejandro, right here in San Diego. Alejandro, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Father John Weiss.
Thank you so much. Hi, Father John.
Hello.
My question is about Genesis 3:15. Is it a reference to Mama Mary?
I think it does. It refers to the woman and the seed, and that Satan is going to make war by biting at her heel. And Eve, you know, passed away long before the Messiah came along. But so we see Genesis 3:15 as applying to Mary, as prefiguring her, as a prophecy that's anticipating her coming.
Okay, so my next question is about in Isaiah 7:14.
Right.
Is that also referred to Mother Mary, right?
I don't have Isaiah memorized. Can you tell me what's there? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Alejandro?
Okay, let me look at it first.
Well, you can just say it in a general way.
No, because I don't really memorize that, but...
Okay, all right. Well, nothing sounds better on the radio than everybody opening their Bible. That is... Sounds good in heaven. It probably doesn't sound so good on the radio. But has anybody got it? Has anybody found...
I got it.
Okay,
right here.
Father, go ahead.
Actually, I'm going to read it from Matthew's gospel, because Matthew quotes it. The angel Gabriel appears to Joseph and says, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. And then he says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So, you know, say the angel Gabriel applies this to Mary and to the birth of the child Jesus. So I think we can do the same.
So we can say, yes, that yes. Verse, it does apply to Jesus. Alejandro, thank you very, very much for the call. I'm going to try to get everybody on, as I said, but I will send you. You're only here in San Diego. You can come by and pick up the book if you want. But if you give Edgar an address, we'll send you Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God by our guest, Father John Weiss. Don's in Virginia. Don, you've been waiting and waiting. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Father.
I wanted to say to Father John that I'm on a path to become Catholic. I've been Protestant most of my life. Well, all of my life. I attend an Episcopal church now, and during COVID, I attended a basilica in Virginia, which was open. But I've listened to Catholic Answers Live for exactly 6 years now, 2 hours a day, and I don't miss it. And I learned so much, and it eclipses completely the small amount that I've ever learned in a Protestant church. The biblical knowledge, all the church theologians and all the apostles. I've learned so much by listening to the show, and I'm both awed and angry that nobody ever taught me this previously. And I just wanted to say that, and I also want to say that I'm pretty serious about my path, and I know that you're a father, but also as an author, you bring a command of what you're talking about that's readily apparent on the radio when I listen, and I was just compelled to call in. I wanted to tell you that.
Well, thank you very much, Don, and I'll just tell you, I'll keep you in my prayers for your journey, so that God will lead you to where He wants you to be, and that you'll find true happiness there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. May I ask? I mean, it's what strikes me is Father's way of reading Scripture is to try to kind of comprehensively get the message rather than prove this point or that. Is that part of what's attractive to you, Don?
Yes, and actually, it was stated earlier. I think the Father said it, and you recaptured it. That it's you're not reading a textbook. There's depth to the word and each word and each verse that are beyond the obvious reading of, and I've learned that to be true, so anyway, I'll be honest with you, it never occurred to me that there was a church before the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Protestant Church or Presbyterian Church. And it just never occurred to me. I never thought about it. And it was, I just seemed like, well, of course there was always a church, but because everybody gets on this polarization of either Protestant or Catholic. And it's other than some of the, you know, the things that are different, it all comes from the one church, and that's where I want to belong.
Praise God, Don. Thank you very much. Hang on, I want to give you a copy of Father's book. Father John Weiss has been our guest. His book is Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus in the Word of God. We're right at the end, Father. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Si.
Right back with Simone.